Our scripture reading this morning comes from Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 4 to 13. Listen to the word of God. Hear the word of the Lord, you descendants of Jacob, all you clans of Israel. This is what the Lord says. What fault did your ancestors find in me that they strayed so far from me? They followed worthless idols and became worthless themselves. They did not ask, "Where is the Lord who brought us up out of Egypt and led us through the barren wilderness, through a land of deserts and ravines, a land of drought and utter darkness, a land where no one travels and no one lives? I brought you into a fertile land to eat its fruit and rich produce, but you came and defiled my land and made my inheritance detestable. The priests did not ask, 'Where is the Lord?' Those who deal with the law did not know me. The leaders rebelled against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal, following worthless idols. Therefore, I bring charges against you again, declares the Lord, and I will bring charges against your children's children. Cross over to the coasts of Cyprus and look. Send to Kedar and observe closely. See if there has ever been anything like this. Has a nation ever changed its gods? Yet they are not gods at all. But my people have exchanged their glorious God for worthless idols. Be appalled at this, you heavens, and shudder with great horror, declares the Lord. My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." The word of the Lord.
Thank you, Bill Quinn. Welcome back. Bill's been in Taiwan recently, a place that he lived for a number of years. And on Tuesday, he begins his senior year at Pittsburgh Theological Seminary. So glad to have him back. Shall we pray? O God, guide us by your word and spirit this day. Be our helper, open our minds, lead us into your truth for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I know this should be a communion meditation, but it's going to be a real sermon, just to warn you. Because Jeremiah is one of those books of the Bible where you just can't take shortcuts. And I want you to hear the message that comes from Jeremiah chapter 2. Before this morning, I did a quick count of our congregation, and I think there are about a half a dozen lawyers in our church. There's some even more that have law degrees. Don't be surprised, lawyers are not, shall we say, in short supply these days, which is why, though not obvious in the English translation, I want to point out to you that the language of Jeremiah here at the beginning of his book is legal language. For instance, the imagery is that of a lawsuit, and God is the one filing charges. Israel is the defendant on the witness stand. And it is Jeremiah the prophet who is the prosecuting attorney, and his plaintiff, of course, is the Lord. Listen to what the Lord says. What fault did your ancestors find in me that they strayed so far from me? They followed worthless idols and became worthless themselves. And then comes the indictment itself. But my people have exchanged their glorious God for worthless idols. Be appalled at this, you heavens, and shudder with great horror, declares the Lord. My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Let's go back to the first question for a moment. God calls his own people worthless people. They follow worthless idols. The Hebrew word used in this passage is hahabel, conveying the image of a wisp of air, nothingness. What Jeremiah is saying to his people is not that they have failed to be religious. In fact, church attendance is breaking all records. The temple is full all the time. All their religious activity, however, means nothing. It's worthless. And God sees where our heart is. God doesn't just see our religious practices, our rituals, the outside. God sees on the inside as well. So what God was seeing in his own people was something not good. Israel goes to church for all the wrong reasons. Jeremiah is telling them that the covenant between God and his people has been broken, and they are the guilty party. They have become hahabel, worthless, like a breath of air. The chosen children of God exchanged the one true, glorious God for idols, worthless idols. They come by their attitude naturally, however. Their parents and grandparents did the same thing. Verse 5 says, "What fault did your ancestors find in me that they strayed so far from me? They followed worthless idols and became worthless themselves." You know me well enough to know that I don't preach a lot of sermons from this pulpit on judgment. But as I begin to read and reread Jeremiah, I may be changing my mind. Actually, beyond Jeremiah, the word judgment is used, or the notion of judgment is found over 400 times in the Bible. Deuteronomy 24:16 says, "Parents are not to be put to death for their children, nor children put to death for their parents. Each will die for their own sin." However, I believe from other scriptures, including verse 9 today, "Therefore I bring charges against you again, declares the Lord, and I will bring charges against your children's children," that we have a responsibility for those who come after us, for the next generation. It is our responsibility. And I have found in giving pastoral care to people that the next generation can bring both great joy and great sorrow. Perhaps my perspective has been shaped by the fact that I'm a baby boomer. My contemporaries were of the dropout generation, influenced by cultural tsunamis like Vietnam and Watergate. We learned to distrust institutions. And to many of my generation, the church is part of that. So we learned to distrust the church. Many boomers didn't see a need to take their children to church. And in some ways, we're paying for that today. Any generation that rejects the church tends to put in its place other gods, little g gods. For instance, the gods of individualism, or the gods of materialism, or the gods of secularism, or any other ism. And if you think this distrust has no effect on the younger generations, think again. Why do so few people vote today? Why do so many families homeschool their children nowadays? A deep distrust of institutions. That's why. When adult children come back to church, they're often dissatisfied with the church that they come back to. Now, I tend to think that's a good thing, that we need some reform, we need some change in the church. And if the old traditions aren't getting the job done, and the churches do not find new and creative ways of declaring God's grace, well then, let's remake it. Let's try again. All right, let's head back to Israel's court trial. And they have been faithless, turning their back on God, and they're about to pay for it. A pattern of rejection has moved from one generation to the next to the next. God's tired of it. As I read this, I think God is at something of a loss of what to do about it. So the prosecutor prophet Jeremiah uses imagery his people can understand. My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. If you've ever been to the Middle East, you know it's an arid land. Water is a prized commodity for people who live in the Middle East. They collected rainwater in cisterns and carried them in jars to distant places. That water, however, when it was stored, could become stagnant, could become stinking and undrinkable. So retrieving it at the right time and using it was important. You see, God cannot understand why his chosen people would go after gods that were not gods at all. Why they would trade for the living water from a flowing fountain that never runs dry, the stagnant, stinking water of a cistern. He couldn't understand. The people of God had turned their backs on God. This was the picture lawyer Jeremiah draws up for them of their spiritual condition. Their souls are like broken cisterns filled with stagnant water. They're empty. There's an old fable, the story of a motherless tiger cub who is raised by goats. He learns to eat like goats do, to eat clover and grass. He learns to speak the language of goats and imitate the way they live. In short, he's raised to think he's a goat. Then one day, a tiger king comes along, and all the goats scatter in fear, and the little tiger cub is left standing there, afraid yet somehow not afraid. And the tiger king asks him what is meant by this masquerade. But all the tiger cub can do is bleat and eat more grass. So the tiger king draws him aside and takes him to a brook and forces him to look into the water to see his image and the image of the larger tiger. Doesn't work. The young tiger still thinks he's a goat. So finally he offers the tiger cub a piece of raw meat. And at first, the young tiger recoils from the unfamiliar taste, but then he eats more of it and begins to feel it warming his blood, and the truth comes to him, becomes clear, and he lashes his tail and digs his claws in the ground and raises his head high and lets out for the very first time a roar. And all the goats run. He's not a goat. He's a tiger. Jeremiah is telling Israel that they are not living their true identity. They drink stagnant water from broken cisterns when they could have found fulfillment, refreshment from a fountain of cool, clear water that never ends. They forgot who they were. Sometimes I wonder what God thinks of us. We rush around looking for meaning in all the wrong places. We waste our time and energy. And all the while, the more important things of life are right in front of us. Seeking justice for all people, looking after the needs of those who can't care for themselves, working for the common good of everyone, including people not at all like us, all in the name of Jesus. We too have exchanged our glorious God for worthless idols. But here's the good news, friends. We have someone who stands beside us, pleading our case before the everlasting judge and asking that his mercy and grace be the final word. It's not too late to ask Jesus to put a good word in for us. Because, brothers and sisters, court is in session. Amen.